Begin the current daf, Masechta Shabbos, daf Nun Tes. We begin three lines up from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues discussing the theme of the previous daf, which brought down the brayis that says, Nitlun Belehen Adayin Tumas Nalein. That it spoke about the bell that's used for a child. And that is, the bell for the child is only a useful item that's considered keli if it makes noise. And therefore, it needs an inbel, it needs the clapper inside the bell for it to be considered keli. However, if it had once the bell and the clapper, and then it became tummy, and then later on the clapper was taken away, the Bryce says it's still considered tummy. To which the different Amirom and the Gemara are discussing, but how is it still tummy? What's it fit for? It's not a keli anymore, and therefore once a keli becomes not a keli, if it's, so to speak, broken in half, then it becomes tar. So here when the clapper is taken away, it should be tar. Why is it still tummy? So we had one of the other terutzim which was brought on the top of this amid that we learned on the previous stop, which was if it was still useful to bang on the kli cheres, for example, on the earthenware pot, so you could still use it to make noise, and therefore it's still useful as a keli. Now the Gemara brings another pshat from Rabbi Yochanan, why it's still considered a keli, even though the clapper was taken out of the bell, and it's still considered a keli, and it's still tummy. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Hoil v'roi l'gameya b'mayim l'tinik. Since this bell is still fit, it's still useful as a vessel, because you can give a child to drink water by using the bell, although now you can't use it as a bell anymore to make noise, because the clapper is not there anymore, but you could, so to speak, use it as a cup, so to speak, to give a child to drink water with that bell. Which the Gemara asks, does Rabbi Yochanan not require that the keli, the vessel, should have a semblance of its original function? And that is, this was never a cup. It wasn't a vessel that you drank with. It was a vessel that you used to make noise. And therefore, there seems to be the machloikis regarding this fundamental principle. Well, if it still wants to retain its original status as a vessel, as a keli, that we had the original pshat, that we brought on the top of the Yomid, which was before Rabbi Yochanan's Peshat, that said that if it's still useful as it used to be, although in a different manner, it used to be able to make noise by just banging it back and forth, and the clap would make noise in the bell. Now you could use the bang on the pot, you could still make noise, so it has a semblance of original function. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, it doesn't have to be, it could be a vessel in a different manner, that is, you could use it as a cup, but it's not going to be anything of what it used to be, which was to make noise. And the Gemara asks, is that really so that Rabbi Yochanan holds like that? But by the time you learn the Braisa, that from this will come out that it seems Rabbi Yochanan holds that it has to have a semblance of original function. It's not enough that you can use it as in a different form, as so to speak, like a cup. As we learn in the Braisa, there's a pasuk of a Yikra Tezva. It says, B'chol kli asher yeshu b'lov b'gomer, that any vessel that he will sit on. And the beginning of this pasuk says that B'chol ha-mishkov, and that anything that the Zav, the one who is impure because of different fluids and liquids that come out of his member, it says that whatever he'll lay on will become tummy. So therefore, we would have thought that it includes any vessel, even what's not made for sitting. And that's what the Braisa says, that Yochel Kofer saw V'yeshev Alav. You would think that if he takes a saw-sized barrel and he turns it over and he decides to sit on it, or Kofer Tarkiv, or he turns over a Tarkiv, which is a combination of the word Trei V'Kav, which means two and a Kav, which is a half a saw, that's three Kav. Different size measurement, but we're talking about different barrels. You would think that if you take these items and you would turn them upside down, the Yeshiva then sit on them, that you hate tummy, they should become tummy because it's a kli, it's a vessel. And it says that any vessel he will sit on will become tummy. On that, the Braisa brings, Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk says, Asher Yeshiva love Hazab, that anything that which the Zav will sit on, which is coming to say, it's in the terminology of the present future, Misha Meyuchad li Yeshiva, that anything that's reserved for sitting, that is something that he'll be metame with the tumah of Mishkov and Moishav, of the different tumas that come from what he sits on and what he lays on. Yotzezeh, that excludes the cases that we talked about, She'oimim loy amud v'nasa machtein, that we tell him, hey, get off, let's turn the right side up, and that we could use it for our work, it's not meant for sitting. And that is from the fact that when it talks about the Mishkav, the different beds that he lays on, it doesn't say Asher Shachav, that he laid on. And similarly by Moshe, which is a different type of tumah, what he sits on, it doesn't say Asher Yashav, that he sat on. Rather, it says in the present, Yishkav, Yeshev, that he will sit, that he will lay, which it sounds like that he will constantly lay on and sit on, which means that it's designated for sitting and laying. And that is the same type of drasha that we say over here by Medrash, we say by Mishkav, the same type of idea that since it says in the present future, it means it has to be something that's designated for sleeping or for sitting, whereas if you have something that they usually use as a barrel for putting stuff in, now he turns it upside down to sit on it, that's not considered something that's meant for sitting and laying, and therefore, there we tell him, get off, let's turn the right side up and do what we do our work with it, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tumah of Medrash and of Mishkav, although he's sitting in it, and although it's a kli. Now, regarding this machlekes, this concept we say regarding the Mishkav and Moshav, that everybody agrees to, that it will not be mekabel the tumah of the Zav. Now the Braisa continues regarding this principle that we just said, that everybody agrees to regarding the halachas of a Zav, that it will not make it tumas midras or tumas Mishkav if it's not designated for that. There's a machlekes between Rebbe Loza and Rebbe Yechanan regarding what would that be regarding the general concept of tumah, regarding the halacha of tumas mes, as the Gemara brings. Rebbe Loza says, "B'medrasis oimrim amud v'nasim lachteinu." That only regarding the tumah of medras, which is the tumah of what a zav sits on, what he lays on. There we say that get up and let us do our work. And that is there are two different principles that are related to this halacha, both regarding the beginning of the tumah, as we mentioned, that it will not become a tumah of midras to become an ava tumah, because it's not designated for sitting and for laying. And the same thing applies to the end of the tumah. That is, for example, if let's say something is 3x3 tfachim, that became tumah for midras, that a zav sat on it or lay on it, and it became an ava tumah. But then it got split in half. So now it's tahar from the tumah of medrash that it has, because then now we say, get up and let's do our original work that we did with it, that it was at one point fit for sitting, but now it's not fit for it anymore. So therefore now it's tahar from medrash, and even though each piece still has at least 3x3 its bois, finger breadth, and it is a kli to be mekabel tumah, however, from the Torah of ava tumah that it had, that it became tummy, that it became tahar from. So there's two different principles that applies to the tumah of midras. As we mentioned before, one is that we spoke about that it won't be mekabel tumah in the first place, because, hey, it's not a keli for sitting. And even if it was a keli for sitting, but if it broke, now it's not what it originally was for sitting. So therefore, though it's still a kli, because it's still the minimum measurement of what could be mekabel tumah, but since it's not what it was, it became ois that it's not that anymore, and therefore it's tahar from that. Those are the two principles that we say regarding the tumah of midras. That we'll say the concept of amoid v'nas machtenu, get up and let's do our work, because it's not fit for sitting anymore, both in the beginning of the tumah and at the end of the tumah. However, Belaza says ve'in oimrim b'tmei meis amoid v'nas machtenu, but we don't say this principle regarding the tumah of a corpse, that get up and let's do our work. And that's regarding these two dinim that we said that apply by the tumah of medrash. It does not apply by the tumah, the ava tumah of a mess. And that is, for example, let's say we have, if something became tumah from a mess, and then it broke, but it's still fit for its original malacha, although it's not a semblance of its original malacha, we say it's still tumah. We don't say, amod v'nasim lachteinu harishayna, that get up and let's do our original work. And that since it's not fit for what it was till now, that it should be tahar. And definitely regarding the first thing that we mentioned of the beginning of tumah, we don't say get up and let's do our original work to say that if it's not designated for a dead person, that's not going to be kabbal the tumah of mes, because all it says, there has to be a clay mice, the pasuk says, and that it's fit for, and therefore it doesn't need, like it has for the tumah of mes, it has to be designated for sitting. So Rebbe Loza says that this halacha that we say that it has to be both in the beginning and at the end, for what it's designated for, that you only have by medrash, as it says, that it has to be something that's used for sitting. But regarding the tumah of mes, it doesn't have to be designated for mes. And also for the other din, that is, once it became tummy, although it's not what it was up until now, it's still going to be tummy. It's not going to say that it's not what it was. However, Rebbe Yechanan says, af oimit mitmei mes amud v'nas machtein. Rebbe Yechanan says that even regarding the halacha of tumah in general, for example, the tumah that a mes conveys, that a corpse gives to something that touched it, even there we say that get up and let's do our original work. So obviously that a mess conveys tumah to any type of keli, not just to somebody that's designated for a dead person. So this, the Rabbi Yechanan says, that we say the halacha of amud v'nas machtenu, obviously he's going that when there was a keli and it was a kabel tumah from a mess, and then it broke, but it's not fit for what it was originally used for, so then we're saying that it becomes tar, that's amud v'nas machtenu, it applies even to tmei mes. And this is what the Gemara's question is. See, obviously you see that Rabbi Yechanan holds that it requires to have me'ein malach rishon, it has to be a semblance of what its original function was. And that's why he says that even by Tmei Meis, not just by the pasuk that we have, that everybody agrees to by Medrash, that it has to be something that's designated as a bed or as a chair, and if it even was a chair and then it broke, it's going to be Tahar, that we have the two dinim that we said about, that everyone agrees to be Rebbe Loza. Rebbe Yechanan says even by Tmei Meis, that if it was something that was Mekabel Tumah, now it's not what original function was, it's going to be Tahar even from Tmei Meis. So the question is, how could Rebbe Yechanan have said that the bell that's missing the clapper is still going to be Tamei, because it's fit to be used as a cup for a child, to give a child to drink. But that's not me'ein malach rishayna. It's fit for use for something, as a cup, as a vessel, but it's not what it originally was, so therefore it should become tar. That's the contradiction of Rabbi Yechanan. How could he have said that pshat? When we see from this braisa, we see Rabbi Yechanan says that we say amoid v'nasam lachteinu, even regarding tmei meis, that once something breaks its not original function, it becomes tar. And that the Gemara agrees and says, Ipach Kamaisa, that we have to say that we switch the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan with the statement of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina that we had brought on the top of this Amid, which we had brought on the previous staff, that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said that since it's still fit to bang on the Klicheres on the earthenware pots, so it's still fit to make noise. That pshat is really Rabbi Yochanan that said it, because he requires Me'ein Malach Rishayna. And the statement Rabbi Yochanan says that fit to drink, to give a child to drink, was really Rabbi Yosef Chanina that said that he does not require Me'ein Malach Rishayna. And that the Gemara asks, Amai Chaz is the Abchad Kamaiso. From where do you see to switch the first statement of Rabbi Yochanan to so that should be congruent with what he's saying over here that requires, that has to be Me'ein Malach Rishayna? Let's switch the second statement of Rabbi Yochanan with the statement of Rabbi Elazar that Rabbi Yochanan does not require Me'ein Malach Rishayna, and therefore, it's like he said before, that because as long as it's fit for a child to drink, and that is, he holds like what we had said was Rabbi Elazar's statement, is that, yeah, by regarding other things, it does not require its original function as long as it's still functional. So how do you know to switch the first statement and not the second statement? And the Gemara says, no. Hashemina l'Rabbi Yochanan d'boy Me'ein Malach Rishayna. We have somewhere else that proves Rabbi Yochanan held that requires an semblance of original function. And that's why we're switching the first day, but not the second one. The Tanya has learned the Braisa. Sandal shel behem, the shoe of an animal. And as they made these shoes, that the animal's hooves should not get hurt from the different stones on the road. Shel matech es tameh, if the shoe is made out of metal, it's tameh. So that the Gemara asks, l'may chazi, what's it fit for? How is it a keli? If it's because of the animals, but there's no din of tachsh, there's no din of an ornament for an animal. So this shoe, what makes it a kli that it's mekabel tumah? And that the Gemara brings three different pshatim. Amar Rav, ro lishlis by mayim b'melchama. That since when you're going out with these animals into the war, you could take the shoe off and drink water with it. So therefore, it's fit as a kli. So therefore, it's mekabel tumah. Reb Chanina, Amar Chanina says the second pshat, ro losach by shem b'melchama. It's fit to anoint with it oil in the melchama. So therefore, people, they would anoint themselves. That's one of the things that they would use. So therefore, you could use the shoe as a vessel to hold that oil, so therefore it's a vessel. Rabbi Yochanan says, the third pshat, b'shosh t'berech m'nakrav, at the time when he's running away, in the time of battle, when he's retreating, manich l'beraglev, he could put on the animal shoes on his feet, v'ratz al kutzen v'al barkan, and that will help him facilitate running on top of thorns and on thistles. And therefore, since it helps him that form, it's going to be considered a keli. And therefore, from here you see that since it's something that he himself has to be able to use, since it was originally designated as a shoe, and that is, if it wouldn't be fit for, so to speak, shoe purposes, Rabbi Yochanan would not have made it tummy. He doesn't agree with the other pshatim that you could drink with it or anoint with it. He holds it. It's a shoe. It has to be tummy for what it was designated for, Me'ein Malach Rishayna. And therefore, only because a person could use it, so to speak, at least in some limited form, as a shoe in the time of war when he's running away, so therefore, that's the only reason he'll make a tummy. That's exactly like we said, that he requires it to be as exactly as originally was made. And so we switched the first statement, that he doesn't hold that it's enough that the child could drink water with it. Rather, it's the other statement, since you could bang it on the klicheretz, it's still original function, that's where it'll be mekabel tumah. So up until now was the raya to show what Rabbi Yochanan held. But now the Gemara discusses these three different pshatim and why the shoe of the animal is mekabel tumah. My bein Rav l'Reb Chanina. What's the difference between the pshatim of Rav that said you could drink with it, or Reb Chanina that said you could anoint yourself oil with it, and that's where the animal shoe is mekabel tumah? The Gemara says ikim benay demos. The difference is, if it's repulsive, that according to Rav it won't be mekabel tumah because it's not fit to drink with it anymore. It's all dirty and repulsive. You're not going to drink with it. And whereas according to the other pshat of Reb Chanina, you can still anoint with it. However, Rav held that anointing, there's no such thing, because people don't bring oil into wartime to anoint, and therefore it's never going to be fit to be used as anointing, because back at home, no one's using an animal shoe to use for anointing. And the same thing really applies between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, that he says that it's to run away. There's also the difference if it's disgusting. According to Rav, again, you will not use it, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, just like it is according to Rabbi Chanina, you would run away with it and you would anoint with it. So that's the difference according to the opinion of Rav, that if it's repulsive, you won't drink with it, and therefore it will not be mekabel tumah. The Gemara continues, Bein Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina, what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan Pshat that said that you could use it to run away and use it on your feet, and between Rabbi Chanina that says you'll use it for anointing? And then the Gemara says, Ikim Benay Diyaka, the difference would be if they're very heavy. And that is, since it's not fit to run away with them because they're too heavy, you won't be able to use it as shoes on your feet. So that is, again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be Tahar. According to Chanina, it would still be Mekabel Tumah because it's still fit to use for anointing. Now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "V'loy be'ir shel zav, a woman is not allowed to go out on Shabbos with a city of gold. It's a type of ornament which they wore on as a so to speak, across their forehead that had the image, the engraved image of a city of gold. As that the Gemara asks, my Be'ishal Zav, what is a city of gold? So the Gemara says, Rabbi B'chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim did have. It's Yerushalayim of gold. It was an image, so to speak, of what Yerushalayim looked like, shaped out of gold. As the Gemara continues on, Amad Beis, could the Abed Rabbi Kiva led the Beis, as Rabbi Kiva did for his wife, as the Gemara Masechet Nedarim and Daf Nun says that his wife was the daughter Bas Kalba Savua, a very wealthy individual who wrote them off and said, you can't have any of my money, because she married Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva felt bad, they had no money. He says, one day I'm going to buy for you this beautiful jewelry, and he ultimately did. He bought her, and that was the Yerushalayim Shel Zav. That's the this ornament that's worn on the head and with the image of a golden city. So now the Gemara brings a machloikis in the Braisa regarding the din of our Mishnah that says a woman's not allowed to go on Shabbos with the city of gold, a three-way machloikis. Tan Rabban, we learn in the Braisa, Leisesi Isha B'Ishal Zav, a woman's not allowed to go on Shabbos with the city of gold, Vim Yatzitz Chayiv Chatas, but if she goes out, she's liable for a carbon chatas, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. The second opinion, Vecham Maimim, Leisesi, she's not allowed to go out, but Vim Yatzitz Betur, if she goes out, she's part of a machatas. Rebbe Leza says, the third opinion, Yotze Isha B'Ishal Zav L'Ketchila, a woman is initially, she's allowed to go out with the city of gold on Shabbos, there's no problem. So we have three different opinions. Either Chayev Chatas, or shouldn't go out, but you're not Chayev Chatas, or it's totally permitted. So the Gemara asks, Michael Mifka, what is the Machlikas over here? Why these three different opinions? Remeir Sabar Masahu. Remeir holds that it's a burden. It's not considered an ornament, and therefore it's Asman Atar. And that's why Chayav Chatas, because it's external, it's not intrinsic to the person. And if you're carrying a load on Shabbos, Rabban Savi Tachshir, Rabban says, no, it's an ornament. And therefore, in that Torah, it's mutter. However, Dilma Shalfo Machavyale, maybe she's going to remove it and show it to others. Look at this beautiful jewelry that I have that my husband bought for me. Va'asil Asuya, she might come to carry it for Amos and Shusaram. That's why Midra Banan, it's also because we're concerned she might do that. But if she goes out with it, there's no Chatas, because in that Torah, it's mutter. Rebbe Laza holds, Man Darka LeMeipik B'Yishal Zav. Who is accustomed to going out wearing this type of beautiful jewelry of this, that's called the city of gold? Isha Chashuva, a very respected woman. She's the wealthy person. V'Isha Chashuva LeMeshalfa Machavya. And a wealthy woman, a respected woman, is not going to take off and show her crown, her city of gold to other people. It doesn't pass. It's not respected like that. And therefore, there's no concern about her taking it off because she's not going to. And therefore, initially, she's allowed to go out and we don't make a decree. And that's the pshat in this three-way machlokes regarding the Irshal Zav. The Gemara continues with a similar type of a jewelry, an ornament that's worn on the head. Kalila regarding a tiara. And that is, it's worn on her forehead. It's tied from ear to ear. And it's totally a plate of gold. And some make it out of silk. And it's woven together with gold. So this tiara, Rav Asur Shmuel Shari, Rav says it's forbidden to go out with it on Shabbos, Shmuel says it's mutter. So the Gemara explains, the anischa, if it's made of nischa, that is a plate that's totally hammered, it's made out of something that's molten, like gold or silver, kuli amalei pligid asur, everybody agrees that it's going to be asur, because since it's very chashim, so we're concerned that people might take it off, the woman might take it off to show it to her friends, and therefore we were geyser over there, and that's why you can't go out with it. When do we have the machlekes between Rav and Shmuel if it's asur mutter? That's regarding one that's made out of fabric that's a band, that it would be that it was studded with gold and with precious stones, but it itself was made out of fabric. And the machlekes is as follows. Marsava, a Rav that said that it's asur to go out with this fabric one, was anischa ikr, because he holds that the nesach is ikr, that is the main thing is of this band, although that's made out of fabric, but the main is the gold and the jewelry that's studded on it, and therefore it is considered something chashim, and therefore she might take it off to show it to her friends. Umar Sava, but Shmuel that said that it's mutter, aruksa ikr, holds that the band is the ikr part, that's the fabric part, and therefore it's not so chashim because it's made out of fabric, and therefore she's not going to take it off to show it off. So that's the machlekes was based on what's the ikr, and therefore if it's a chashim thing, she might take it off to show it, and that is if you go after the studs. And if you say the main thing is the band, then that's not so chashim, so therefore you're not going to show it off, and therefore Shmuel said it's mutter. A different version of this machlik is Rav and Shmuel. Rav Ashi Mas Nakul Rashi, he had an interpretation of this machlik is more leniently, and that is the aruksa regarding a fabric band, the kuli amalei pligi d'shari. There everybody agrees that tiara is going to be mutter, and that is because the aruksa is ikr, the band is the main thing, and that's not so chashim, so you're not going to take it off to show it to your friends. When did they argue? That was regarding the one that's made out of a plate of gold or silver. And that is Marsav, a Rav that said it's Asr, he held Dilma Shalfa Machavya. Maybe she's going to go take it off and show it to her friends. She's going to come to Ariad for Amistad Shabbat. It's such a beautiful thing. She's going to want to show it off. However, Marsav, however, Shmuel held that said that it's Mutter. He said, "Man darka lemebik beklila." Similar to what we said before. What type of woman is going out with this tiara? Ish chashuv, respect the woman. Ish chashuv leshalaf machavi, and the respected woman is not going to take it off and show it to her friends. And if there's no reason to be concerned to let a person go out with it, because she's not going to take it off to show it off, doesn't pass. It's not respectful to go take it off and to show it to one's friends. So the Gemara brings a raya to this version of the machloikis that Omali Rav Shmuel Babachon Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel said to Rav Yosef, "Beferish Amrit Lamashmeid Rav, you explicitly told us in the name of Rav, that is before you got sick and before you forgot all your learning, that is throughout Shas we find that Rav Yosef forgot his learning and he got sick and his Talmidim would constantly remind him, that clearly Shari, you said in the name of Rav, that this tiara is mutter to go out with on Shabbos." So obviously you see the version of Rav Ashi is the main one, that he said the machlokes between Rav Shmuel was only by Nischa. That there, only if the plate is made of gold or silver, that's where Rav said that it's aser. But the aruksa, but the fabric one, there Rav agrees that it's mutter. And that's how you could say that you told us the name of Rav, that klila is shari. Where do we find we held that Rav says klila is aser? That's only by the plate one. But regarding the fabric one, there he agrees, and that's like the second version of Rav Ashi, that the machlokes is only by the plate, but the fabric one, everyone agrees that since that's the ikker, she's not going to go ahead and take it off to show others what it looks like. Those that were matter, that were lenient regarding this clearly, this tiara, the Gemara brings, Amr Leila Rav, they said to Rav, Osa Gavar Rabba Arichu L'Nadah. There came a great man that was very tall, he came to Nadah, Umatlan, he was limping, Bedarish, and he lectured as follows, Klila Shari, it's permitted to go out on Shabbos wearing this tiara. So the Rav said, Amar, Man Gavar Rabba Arichu Ditla. Who's a great man that's very tall that limps? So it says, Levi, that's Levi. And as the Gemara brings elsewhere, that Levi became limp because he showed this type of bowing down, which is called Kida, in front of Rebbe, and he did in a way that you bend your whole body all the way down and having your head hit the floor, and he did it in a way, and he became limp. So therefore, he understood that it was Levi. So therefore, when he heard that it was Levi that came to Nadah, he made another comment. He says, obviously, Reb Ofis passed away. And that is, it's brought down Masechtas Kesubis and Perek HaNoyseh Nafkov Gimel Beis, that it says that when Rebbe passed away, Rebbe said, Reb Chanina Bar Chama should become the Rosh Hashiva. However, Reb Chanina did not accept upon himself the post of Rosh Hashiva, because Reb Ofis was greater than him by 2.5 years. And therefore, Reb Ofis became the Rosh Hashiva. However, since Reb Chanina was very chashiv, he didn't go into the Beis Medrash, and he would sit outside and learn over there. And because of his honor, Levi would sit outside and learn with Reb Chanina outside, and he didn't go into Reb Ofis's share. And that, as the Gemara says, obviously he says that Reb Ofis passed away. The Yosef Reb Chanina Bereishis, and obviously Reb Chanina became the Rosh Hashiva, and below Habalei Inish LeLevi LeMesav Gabei, and that now there was no one for Levi to sit outside with anymore, because his Chavrusa that was sitting outside now became the Rosh Hashiva, and therefore Bekas Lacha, and that's why he came over here, because Reb Chanina wasn't greater than Levi, not in Torah and not in years, and therefore Levi was not going to be subservient to him, and therefore he came here to us. So the Gemara asks, how did Rav know that obviously Reb Ofis passed away, that now Reb Chanina took over, and now that Levi's old Chavrus, Reb Chanina, was sat outside with him, he became the Rosh Hashiva, now he's not going in to hear Shiv from him, so therefore he came to us. Maybe it's a different type of a combination. V'dilma nach nafshid Reb Chanina. Maybe Reb Chanina, his Chavrus on the outside, passed away. Reb Ofis could koi koi, and maybe Reb Ofis is still the Rosh Hashiva, but now Levi didn't have a chavrus anymore outside because Lach, and that's why he came here. Maybe who said Reb Ofis died? Maybe his chavrus died, and now there's no one to sit outside with. That's why he came to us. Who said Reb Ofis died and Chanina took over, and now he's not going to Chanina, and that's why he came to us? Now the Gemara says no. If Isid Reb Chanina Shachev, had it been Reb Chanina passed away, Levi the Reb Ofis mechav have a kaifle. Levi had no problem being subordinate to Reb Ofis, because Reb Ofis was older than him, so therefore he would have gone into the shir by him. He wouldn't have stayed outside. Vesu, and another reason, it's impossible that that's what happened, that Reb Chanina is the one that passed away. Reb Chanina lo yisagid alei malach, it's not possible Reb Chanina was not going to be Rosh Hashiva at some point in his life. As we brought before, the chiyava konicha navshid Rebbe, because when Rebbe passed away, Amar, he said, Chanina Reb Chama Yosef Bereish, Chanina Bar Chama should become the Rosh Hashiva. V'chsevbu v'tzadikim, and it's written about tzadikim, a pasuk in Iyev, v'sigzo Omer, that they decree and they say, v'yokam loch v'goymer, and they'll be successful, they'll succeed. That is what they decree, what they say is a decree, v'sigzer oimer, and that it will be. And therefore, since Rebbe said that he'll be the Rosh Hashiva, it's impossible that he won't, and although he gave up the post for Reb Ofis with all those years, obviously at some point he was going to become the Rosh Hashiva, and if it's not possible, the other scenario, that he died, and that's why Levi came here, so obviously Reb Ofis passed away, and that's where Reb Chanina became Rosh Hashiva, and that's where Levi came to us. So the Gemara continues discussing the ramifications of the statement of Levi that he said that a klila, that tiara, is mutter to go out with on Shabbos. Darish Levi ben Adah. Levi lectured in Adah, and he said klila shari. He says this tiara is mutter, no problem about wearing it outside on Shabbos. So nafik estrin of arba klili mekul nardah. So they emerged from the whole entire nardah just 24 tiaras. However, the Gemara brings a darish Rabbi Baravu ben Mechuzah. When Rabbi Baravu lectured in Mechuzah, he said klila shari that a tiara is mutter to go out on Shabbos. And there emerged 18 tiaras just from one dead end, just from one mavoi. That is because in Mechaitza they were much wealthier, and therefore the Gemara contrast to show how many people came out, how many more people came out with the tiaras because of the het that they said that the klila is shari. And that was regarding this discussion of the tiara, if there's any reason to say that it's mutter or asr, again, depending on what type of a band it is, if it's made out of gold and silver. However, they had mentioned and they had darshan that it's mutter to go out with a klila on Shabbos. The Gemara continues with another tachsh, another ornament. Amri b'hudim Rav Shmuel kamra shari. It's mutter to go out with on Shabbos with a kamra, which is it's an ornate type of a belt. And there's two different types that they would make. Some would make it out of a plate of gold, and others would make it out of a band that would be studded with gold and different precious diamonds on. So on that there's these two different types. The Gemara gives two different interpretations of this heter of the kamra. Ikadamri, some say daruksa, as we said, that some say this kamra, this belt, is made out of fabric. And as we said, it's studded with different precious diamonds and studs. And this that it's mutter, v'am rab safra, midid hava tas mushavas. Now the Gemara continues with another tachsh and another ornament regarding going out with it on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, kamra shari, a kamra is mutter. And there are two types of kamra that the Gemara is going to discuss. A kamra is basically an ornate belt. And there are those that used to make it out of a plate of gold, and some would make it out of a band, out of fabric, but it would be studded with gold and different precious diamonds. On that, there's two interpretations of why this kamra is mutter, depending on what type of kamra it is. Ikeda amri daruksa, some say that we're talking about a belt that's made out of fabric. However, but it's studded with diamonds and jewels. V'amr av safra, midi dava tas musavis, the reason why it's mutter on Shabbos is like a cloak that's studded with gold. And that is, since it's a tachsh, it's an ornament, and therefore it's mutter. However, regarding the concern, as we brought in many different ornaments, that's us to go on Shabbos, and maybe you're going to take it off and show it to your friends, that would not concern by this kamra, because it's a belt. And it's not the custom of people to open up their belts on Shabbos, because then clothing might fall down. V'igadami, some say that anisch, we're talking about something that's hammered, something that's a plate that's made out of gold, and that is, the belt is made out of gold. Bam Rav Safra, and Rav Safra says, why is that mutter to go with on Shabbos? Midid havan avid shal malachim, it's the same as the belt of kings, which is totally made out of gold. It's just one big chunk of gold. And that's mutter because that's fitting for a king. And the same thing is that Yisrael are b'nei malachim. They're the sons of kings, and therefore it's fitting for every Jew. So either way, if it's one made out of fabric, it's mutter just like a cloak that's also made out of fabric that's studded with gold. That's mutter, that's a tachshit. And even if it's totally gold, this belt, it's also mutter, it's also considered a tachshit, just like kings go out with that. And although we're not kings, we're considered b'nei malachim, so either way, it's going to be considered such a belt, a tachshit, and we're not considered that you're going to take it off also to show it, because then the clothing could fall down. So only Ravina Ravashi, regarding this kamra ilovei hemyona, regarding this ornate belt, on top of a regular belt, my, what's the halacha? In other words, you have a regular belt to hold it up. But then you want it to be fancy, you put on this ornate belt on top of that. What's the halacha? Is that considered a tachshit? Or is that considered carrying? Is that a masa? Because you already have something holding up your clothing. So Amalei Trehem Yoni Kamri says, you're talking about two belts? That's definitely a masa. That's a burden, because it's not a function of what its purpose is to hold up the clothing, and therefore it's considered a burden. So the Gemara continues on this theme. Amar Avashi, Hai Rasuka. Regarding this Rasuka, which is a type of a wide strap made out of material that's tied around the body to make the person look skinnier, it's to hold in the person. So isli mafrichosa shari. If there are ties that are tied around this resuka, this wide band of material, then it's going to be mutter. That is, if it has these narrow ties that are towards the edge of it, which helps tie it down around the strap around the person's body, then it's mutter, because then it's very tight, and we're not concerned that it's going to open up and fall down. So therefore, then you can go out and rush around with it. But if it doesn't have these ties, then it's us, because then maybe it might unravel, and it's going to open up, and then the person might come to carry 4 amos and rush around. The Gemara resumes discussing the Mishnah. V'loy b'katla, a woman's not allowed to go out with a katla on Shabbos. My katla, what is this katla? So it says menakta fari, literally means a crumb catcher, which means it's a type of a clothing that a cloth that they had different loops, like for example, like a pants has, and they would put in a belt, a very wide belt that they would tie around her neck, and this cloth would hang on her chest, and it was very chashiv, and it was designed with gold and different things. So it's like a more ornate bib, and that is, they would make it very tight and tie around the neck. So this katla, which literally means like a choker, that would go around the neck and make it very tight, that this crumb catcher would be type of bib that you can't go out in Shas Ram again because it's very chashiv, and then you might come to take it off and to show people. Then the Mishnah said nizamim, that a woman's not allowed to go out with nizamim. So the Gemara explained nizmeaf, it means nose rings, that she can't go out with on Shabbos. However, earrings, that is mutlak etchila for a woman to go with on Shabbos, because that'd be very difficult for her to take it off and to show it to her friends, because since her ears are covered with different bands, so therefore it was more of a process to take off the earrings, that was mutter, but the nose rings, which are very easy to take off, then she might come to show that to her friend, and then might carry for Amos and Shusara. So the Mishnah said, and a woman's not allowed to go out with a ring that doesn't have a signet on it, that's aser midrabanan to go out with on Shabbos. As our Mishnah said, that it's only aser midrabanan, it's because the Mishnah concluded after all these ornaments, that if she goes out with, that she's potter, because it is really a tachshir, it's in the ornament, and only we're concerned about all these different jewelry, that she might come to take it off and show it to her friend, that's why it's aser. But the diyuk is, the inference is, hayeshul achaysim, but if it had a signet, if it had a seal on the top of the ring, chayevis, then she would be chayev a carbon chatzis, because that's not a tachshir, that's not an ornament, that would be considered a masi, a burden. It's only one without a seal, which is jewelry for her. And that we say that it's asa midrabanan, because she might come to show it. But if it has a seal, it's mashma that it's not even an ornament, it's not a tachshir in the first place, and that's why it should be chayev a chatzis. It wouldn't be including those that you're not chayev a chatzis, as only asa midrabanan. As the Gemara says, amalav tachshir, obviously it's not considered an ornament for a woman. And that Gemara asks, v'minu, I'll ask, it seems to be a contradiction. There's a Mishnah in Kalim that says, tachshitei noshim tmeim, that the ornaments of a woman are tummy, they could be mekabel tummy, they're a keli. Although it's not something that you drink with, but it's considered an ornament. Ve'ele and tachshitei noshim, these are the ornaments of a woman. Katlois, chokers, those are the ones that go around their neck very tight. Nizamim, earrings. V'tabois, and rings. And on that, the Brisa says, and the Mishnah said, v'tabas, and regarding these rings that we said, that is mekabel tummy, whether there has a seal, it has a signet on top of the ring, or whether it doesn't have a seal, either way it's considered one of the tachshit and one of the ornaments of a woman. The nizmeaf and the nose ring, all these things are makabel tumah. So the question is, directly contradicts, it says that a woman's ring that has a chaysim is considered tachshit, and therefore it is makabel tumah. So how can we say over here, from our Mishnah, that it seems to say that only a ring that doesn't have a seal is considered tachshit, and therefore it's mutum in attire, but the inference is that if it has a seal, it's going to be asim in attire, because it's not a tachshit for a woman, and here the Mishnah in Kalim says explicitly that it is a tachshit, it is an ornament for a woman, even if it has a seal. And that the Gemara says, Rebbe Zeir Lekash, it's not difficult. Harem Nechemya, HaRabbanan, the town of our Mishnah was Rebbe Nechemya. The town of the Mishnah in Kalim is the Rabbanan. And that is because Rebbe Nechemya holds that the ikker part of the ring of the Tabaz is for the function of it, which is the Chaysim, that's the seal. That's why our Mishnah was saying that it's only when it doesn't have the seal that it's considered a tachshit, and therefore it'd be potter mechatas. But if it had a seal, it should be chayev achatas. Because a seal for a woman is not an ornament, it's not a tachshit. Because that's not the way for a woman to seal things, to send out messengers. Because the seal is only made for the males that generally do these types of work, and therefore, for a woman, it would not be considered a tachshit at all. However, the Mishnah in Kalim that said that it's a tachshit, that's an ornament, that was the Rabbanan, that they say the actual ring itself is the main function of it. And that's what it's for. It's the ring itself that the woman's using as when she goes out with it. And therefore, the ring itself is a tachshit, it is an ornament, because it's a ring. And although it has a seal, that's not the main function of it. We view the ring, the main base, as what it is, and therefore it's going to be mekabel tumah. So therefore, it's not a contradiction. Our Mishnah says that it's a ring with a seal is, so to speak, not a tachshav for a woman, and that's why you'd be chayv achatas, because it has nothing with the woman. It's not a keli that she uses, because that's Reb Nechemya. That says we focus on the function of it, which is what it's for, which has a seal, and that has nothing to do with women at all. Versus the Mishnah Kalim that says that a tachshav of noshim is even if it has a seal, and therefore it's going to be kabbal tumah. That's like Rabbanan, because they say the main base of the item is the ring, and that a ring is always jewelry for a woman. Although it has a seal, that doesn't undo the main function, which is the ring, not the seal, and therefore it's mekabel tumah. As the Gemara brings, the Tanya is learned in the Braisa. He shall mateches, if the ring is made out of metal, the chisama shall almug, but the seal is made out of this type of precious almug wood. Temeyim, then it's mekabel tumah, because again, the main function is the ring, and the ring is what's called pshutei kli matris. Although it doesn't have a hollow, but a metal keli, it doesn't have a hollow, is mekabel tumah. However, hishel almig, but if the ring is made out of this almig wood, and the seal is made out of metal, then tahar, then the ring is still tahar. And that's because the main idea, again, is the ring according to the Rabbanan, and that's called pshutei kli eitz, since it's made out of wood, and a piece, a wood keli that doesn't have a hollow, is not going to be mekabel tumah. However, on that, the Braisa brings Reb Nechemya mitame. Reb Nechemya says that it's tame. And that is, as we said before, Reb Nechemya oimer, but tabas, when we're talking about a ring, halach acha chesama, the focus of the ring is the seal. And therefore, since the seal in this case is going to be metal, therefore it's going to be tame, because he focuses on the seal. And that's, as we mentioned before, that's why he's the town of our Mishnah that says that a ring with a seal is not a tachshir and is chayv a chatzis for a woman, because the main focus is on the seal, not on the ring. And therefore, if the seal is at least metal, so then it's a pshutei kli matris, it's a metal keli that doesn't have a hollow, which is mekabel tumah. And then Reb Nechemya continues and he says many different items with the same idea, that although the foundation, like we have over here in the case of the ring, is one thing, the main focus is the purpose of it. That he continues, but regarding a yoke, that is what the oxen have on them, that they have this hole that they put their head between and it carries on them. Halach achar samloina, we go after the pegs that connect into the pieces, and that is, we don't go after the main part of the yoke. Rather, we go after the pegs that connect the different pieces, and if the pegs are made out of metal, then they're tamei. We don't go after the main idea of the yoke. Again, it's the function that we view on. It's the pieces that are being used to connect. We continue on the top of Samach Amud Aleph, where he continues on different things which are similar in this idea. B'koylev, regarding a display board, which is a type of a pillar that's wide on the bottom and very narrow on the top, and it's something that's movable. And the storekeepers would put in front of the window of their store, and they would stick in different nails inside of it to hang up different things. They would hang up belts and different straps to sell. So there, holach acha masmeresav, we go after the nails, and if the nails are things which are mekabel tumah, so therefore, although the board is not, it doesn't make a difference. The main function are the nails. That's the more localized thing. That's what, again, as he said regarding the ring, that it's the chesim, it's the seal. Here we go after the nails. Besulam halach achash levoisa, regarding a ladder, we don't care about the ladder itself. We go after the rungs. Again, the same theme. Ba'arsi, regarding a balance scale, which is a very large scale that they would use to weigh wool and wax and copper, and the thing itself is made out of wood. So halach achash levoisa, then we go after the chains. And that is, if the chains are made out of metal, then it's mekabel tumah. Although the whole scale is not metal, it doesn't make a difference. We go after the localized area. However, as we mentioned before, the chacham aimrim, they argue, hakol hoylach acham aimrim, everything goes after the support, the foundation. And that is, as we said before, that the actual ring is what supports the seal. And that is, as we said, that's what's keveya, that's the ring, and not the seal, not like Reb Nechemya. And similarly, they say regarding the bars of the yoke, that's what supports the pegs. So we don't go after the pegs, we go after the bars. Similarly, regarding this kailav, this display board, that's what supports the nails. That's the main thing, not the nails. And regarding the ladder, that's what supports the rungs, because that's what it's attached to. And regarding the scale, it's the same thing. It's the beam that supports the chains, that's the main thing, not the chains itself. And therefore, that's the machlokes we had regarding between the Nechemya and the Chacham, regarding a ring that has a seal. Which one is the ikkar? What's the kaveya between the two? That Reb Nechemya holds that the seal is the main thing. And therefore, it's not considered a tachshit for a woman, because a woman doesn't usually have a seal. She doesn't use that type of function. And that's why it's aser. And that's why our Mishnah said, you be chay v'chatas. According to the Rabbanan in Mishneh Kelim, she would not be chay v'chatas, that it is considered a tachshit for a woman, because the main thing is the ring, not the seal. And that's why it is mekabel tumah, according to the Rabbanan, not like Reb Nechemya v'Mishnah.